You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. We're now in episode 61, which is, I think, an incredible achievement for us, considering we barely made it to double figures before. But big thank you, as always, to our sponsors, GPM Group, Specialist Fire Door Manufacturers, for their support. And thank you, Cookie, for your support. I'm joined by David Cook, as always. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. Not as always, but sometimes I like
as,
to,
you, I'm as often as possible.
That's it. Unfortunately, not joined by Jeff tonight. So me and Matt are going to run riot in this episode of the podcast. So coming up on tonight's podcast, Matt, or today's podcast, or the podcast, shall we say, whenever you're listening, we obviously catch up with Barrow and catch up with Neil Smith after the Barrow game.
We're going to look at the Academy Team of the Week before hearing from Luke Coulson.
Yep, we're going to catch up with, obviously, your community side, Matt.
Indeed, and you also managed to catch up with Alan Dunn, which was a really interesting interview.
That's it, we've got audio from our away opposition tomorrow, Barnet.
Indeed we have. We're going to look ahead to that game as well.
And obviously tell you how you can buy tickets before tomorrow's big game.
Indeed, and that's us, isn't it? So let's get started then with the recap of Barrow. Obviously,
you're going to be the best one to talk about this, Matt, because you attended the game. We had a fantastic turnout.
New word you've invented there.
Words out, I know. As normal, we had a fantastic turnout in the Ravens bar. I stayed back while you and Jeff headed up north with a handful of fans. Fantastic for the fans making the journey, knowing they're not going to get a train back. I think some stayed overnight. Incredible support, but everyone was down here showing the support to Bromley, and we even had a couple of Crave fans and teams stay after the game, and also the Lewis team that Crave played Lewis that day, and even a few Lewis teams stayed to watch the game. Unfortunately, Matt, it wasn't meant to be that game, was it?
No, it certainly wasn't. I mean, you always look at games like that where you're going to a side that are top of the league and have just recorded 2 7-0 wins on the bounce. I mean, it's not often you experience that at any level, let alone the National League. So we knew it was going to be a difficult task at hand, and that it proved to be. However, you've got to look at the fine margins in that game. And yes, although Barrow had more chances, you know, you've got to look at maybe two or three saves Huddarts had to make all game, and they hit the bar once as well. Other than that, obviously the two goals. The first one, difficult to say. It was a great counter-attack from Barrow, but there are things we could have done to avoid it. Dior Angus putting them ahead just after the half-hour mark. So we were 1-0 down at the break, and then immediately as the second half starts, Luke Coulson with a great lob over the goalkeeper, which was goal-bound and then cleared off the line by a defender. So fine margins there again. And later on, sort of towards the 70-minute mark, Corey Whiteley comes on, and it's his first touch of the ball, basically. A great counter-attack from Coulson and Sam Wood. Sam Wood puts the ball on a plate for Whiteley, who's an established player at this level, and you'd expect him to convert, and he just didn't connect with the ball properly and hit it wide when it seemed easy to score. So really, really frustrating on that front, in the sense that if either of those goals would have gone in, or either of those chances would have gone in, it would have been a very, very different game. And the second goal for Barrow coming shortly after that miss from Whiteley, and it was another gift of a goal, unfortunately. A corner came in and wasn't cleared by the man on the near post, and it's gone in off the goalkeeper. So very difficult to take. Barrow were the better side on the day, you have to say, but again, fine margins, even in the sense that we could have quite easily had at least two goals in that game. So frustrating, but we move on. Who better to sum up the performance and the match than manager Neil Smith? Here's what he had to say. Neil, fine margins again, but not the result we were after this.
No, it's just disappointing. The two goals we conceded were poor, and yet I think we had some great chances to have scored. You know, I think when Kors goes through and he loves the keeper, you're thinking that's the goal. They managed to clear it off, but it's not like a clear off the line and we get the second ball. It goes straight into the keeper's hands. And then obviously Corey Whiteley with his couple of chances. I'm not saying, you know, it would have changed the result, but you go in 1-1 after with 20 minutes to go, and I'm looking at the boys and I feel we look solid, we get a result out of it. But the second goal sort of kills it off when it's, you know, such a weak goal on our part. I haven't seen it yet, but you know, score straight from a corner, right? That just can't happen.
It's almost punishment, isn't it, for missing the chance for them to then go down the other end, and they're a strong side. And
absolutely, you know, a team that scores 14 goals in two games, you don't have to give them chances, you know, and I don't think they earn it. That's my disappointment. You know, if they'd have outplayed us and put in some great, it wasn't about that. It was two preventable goals that we've gifted them, and yet we had chances to put it away and we just didn't take it.
David, for Michael Chambers, how do you feel he did?
We did really well. I thought Chambo, I thought Winfield, I thought was outstanding today. I thought Jack Holland, I can't criticise any of the players today, effort wise. Just but those margins, when you're in those playoffs and you're top of the league or something like that, you need to be taking them. And I think at the beginning of the season we were taking them. We just got to get back to winning ways.
And you do welcome back obviously Chris Bush and potentially another couple of injured players as well.
Yeah.
As we look for the final run in now.
Yeah, no. We've just said every point now counts. We've got to get as many points on the board as quickly as we can. We've got a difficult game against Barnet. They're all difficult games. There's so much to play for, top and bottom. And we'll be up for it. What we do need, we need that crowd getting behind us like it was against, you know, Dagenham and Redbridge, you know, and people like that when there's nearly full house, 3,000 people down there. That's what we're going to need going into this last little bit of the season, because they act like the first player today. You know, you saw the crowd today getting behind their players, and that's brilliant. Get behind us, we'll definitely get up there.
And it is two defeats in a row, but it's two defeats where it's been very narrow margins and we've actually played quite well.
Brilliant. You know, as I say, we had the two wins beforehand, Dover and Dagenham and Redbridge, and you know, we Notts County didn't deserve to lose, and tonight, we have lost. I think we've lost to a good side. I think they're a very good side, but as I say, I think we had our chances to have maybe got something out of it.
Yeah, thank you. Moving on now to the Academy Team of the Week. Let's run through that. Congratulations to everybody involved. The goalkeeper, Alfie. The defenders, Liam, Louis, Lewis and Toby. Midfielders, Sid, Alex, Enver, Ramoni and Tacane. And Andreas as the striker. Congratulations to all of them. And also an even bigger congratulations to the Player of the Week, Jay Brooks. And the Boss of the Week, Tony Brown. So well done to all of those involved. The Academy is a massive part of what goes on here at Bromley Football Club on a day-to-day basis, and it's really nice to see that the efforts of these young players are really being recognised, boys and the girls. There's so many different teams, so to get into this Team of the Week is quite an achievement, and there's a lot of coaches as well, so even so, to get to the Manager of the Week is an achievement. Obviously, looking back on last week's podcast, we did bring you the news that Ollie Farmer, who is part of our academy, was named the National League Academy Player of the Month, which is a phenomenal achievement, so congratulations to all of them. Congratulations once again to Ollie and everybody at the Academy. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It looks like Cookie's graced us with his presence for the intro and for a couple of the interviews that you're going to hear coming up. But it looks like he's done some sort of disappearing act for the time being. So I do apologise. You're going to have to put up with my voice and my voice only for the time being. But of course, we are going to bring you some interviews involving other voices to break that up a little bit. And the first of which, an interesting one, Cookie managed to catch up with Luke Coulson earlier this week. What a player he has been for us recently. I think you look at what he's brought to the side since he joined us from Ebbsfleet last December. December 2018 even, and it's clear to see what a player we've got on our hands. One of the most clever players I think I've seen in a Bromley shirt. He's not just about pace, he's not just about his deliveries, he's got so many aspects to his game that really, really make a difference to the side, and he's a really, really good character to have around the dressing room as well. So what's not to like about Mr. Coulson? Here's what he had to say with Cookie earlier this week.
A familiar face to the podcast is Luke Coulson. Luke, it's great to catch up with you. You've been at the football club just over a year now. So how are you finding it?
Yeah, I love it, to be fair. It's a bit more than a year, though, surely. What are we on?
December. December yeah, last year, so December, just over
yeah.
a year.
Yeah, okay.
It might feel like a lifetime.
No, I'm loving it. The new boys that have come in recently have really helped with the squad. And obviously, it was a disappointing result against Barrow, but we're focused and ready for the Barnet game.
That's it. You've had a week full training, so that's a huge benefit. I know we spoke to Alan Dunn earlier. Benefit to you guys working together rather than having obviously a Tuesday night game or any interruptions. Is that your feelings as well?
Yeah, definitely. It means that everyone can get back to a routine throughout the week. And obviously a few of the boys had the in-house game for fitness, and they're looking sharp in training as well. So there's good competition for places. But fully focused and looking forward to it.
Obviously, joining us now, Corey Whiteley, along with Michael Cheek before, Chris Bush, yourself. How's Corey settling in? Obviously, knowing you guys, has he settled in very pretty well?
Yeah, no, he's a good lad. He's blended in straight away. He's not very good at Uno, which we knew. so that's great for the other boys. And we also found out he's a really bad singer from his initiation song. So he's a good lad, and obviously I'm looking forward to him getting his starting a debut and a home game and letting the fans see what he's all about.
Fantastic. And just one more thing, obviously we see you after training, a few of you stick around, this obsession with Uno, what is it? Is it a card game, obviously, but it seems great. Like everything at the minute for you guys.
Do you know what it is? Obviously, we've all got busy lives and everybody's got things to go home to, but it's nice just to, after training, spend a little time, have a little bit of competition, sit down, have a coffee and play a little bit of cards. And that's when we can have a real natter, because obviously there's full focus on training during the day. So it just gives us that little bit of downtime as well, where we get half an hour. And obviously, you win a little bit of money. So if you're good at it, unlike Corey. So it's happy days.
That's brilliant, Luke. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the community side of things now, something which is my responsibility here at Bromley Football Club, and it is a real pleasure to fulfil that. It's a very, very rewarding thing to be involved with when you see the difference that you can make to people's lives, really, with some of the things that we put on here at this club. And actually, what a powerful tool football is. And I know we've discussed it on previous podcasts and things that we're going to try and do in this new year, 2020. And I have to say the response has been fantastic from people around the club and supporters as well. Roy Oliver being one of those that approached me immediately after he listened to the last episode. And the sad story from Cookie with the issues that he's gone through in the past year or so, and about the things that we're trying to do here to benefit people and the people around us. And he's certainly going to be involved very, very heavily with it. I know he's a figure that's very much loved around the club. And it's an open door. So if you hear of anything that we're doing that you'd like to be involved with, all you've got to do is come and ask. We'll welcome you with open arms. We're very approachable here. Just pop in and see us, give us a phone call or drop us a message, and we'll be more than happy to chat to you about it. So with that in mind, we have got the February half-term soccer camp coming up, which is from the 17th to the 21st of February. The idea behind it is to keep the kids active, fit, and healthy during the half-term break rather than sitting at home on games consoles or on the computer, etc. That'll be running 9 till 3 on all of those dates that I've just listed, run by fully qualified coaches and experienced staff as well. It's a great opportunity for the kids to make friends, to play football in fantastic facilities that we've got here and we're blessed with at Bromley Football Club. So do look into that if you've got a child between the age of 4 and 12. We get a lot of children that come down as well that don't really like football to begin with and leave with a smile on their face. So that's definitely something for us to be proud of, and hopefully more of them will keep coming back. We've obviously got our Saturday morning soccer schools as well, which now run all throughout the calendar year apart from Christmas. That's every Saturday, 9 o'clock for 4 to 6 year olds, 10 o'clock for 7 to 9 year olds, 11 o'clock for 10 plus year olds, and also our girls soccer school supported by the National League Trust. And it is coming to that window now where we are looking, like I mentioned earlier, about the new projects that we're going to run here, we'll be putting in some applications in the coming weeks to see what we can do with those. So we'll keep everybody updated, but it's a very, very exciting time, and we're looking to help as many people as we can. So keep your eyes peeled. And it'd be rude not to get an interview with Mr. Coulson Senior. Of course, Alan Dunn is look-alike. So that's exactly what Cookie did earlier this week. Alan is somebody who will need no introduction to football fans in general, having made over 400 appearances for Millwall and captaining them over a period of many, many years. So here's what he had to say when he caught up with Cookie earlier this week.
On the podcast this week, joined by Alan Dunn. Alan, it's been a very busy period over Christmas, hasn't it? How's the team coped with it?
Yeah, Christmas is always a busy time. A lot of games, extreme amount of games, a lot of sacrifices you've got to make as players. There's a lot going on, but it's a time to pick up points. Busy time for us, and yeah, you've got to try and ride the Christmas wave without getting injuries and suspensions, and we've been a bit unlucky with that. But look, we're over that now. We've got a clear run ahead. Boys are focused, and we're looking forward to Barnet tomorrow.
So you talk about Barnet. How have the lads been training this week? Obviously, it's been a full week for them of training. Is that a benefit with not having to play a Tuesday game?
Yeah, for sure. You get more time out on the grass to work with them. We've got Bushy coming back who will help us. The players are on it this week. Trained really well. Good full week training, and look, we're looking forward to playing Barnet tomorrow in front of our home supporters.
Fantastic. And last of all, yourself, obviously seeing you playing a lot less this year, and the coaching role's really increased for you. Is that the way you wanted to plan? Is it a thing of you don't want to play anymore, or are you just enjoying still a small mixture of both? As your phone rings you in the interview, it's
agent,
really
that's my agent. Yeah.
That's your agent. He's getting a deal.
No, look, thank you for reminding me that. Look, playing signed here 3 years ago, and I knew that eventually it'd be time for me to hang my boots up. And look, I'm still registered to play. I'm still fit, but I enjoy coaching. I enjoy working with Neil Smith, who's took me in and trusted me, and him and Mark Hammond, and I enjoy working with them. I learn a lot from them. I enjoy being at the club, being part of that team, trying to help the club get into the league. And look, my playing days, look, I'm almost over, but I'm here to help Neil when, if it's on the pitch or off the pitch.
Brilliant. Alan, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you very much.
Special little feature for you on this week's podcast. I'm joined by our very own performance analyst, Ronan Howard. Ronan, welcome to the podcast. It's a debut for you. Nervous?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you look nervous. Anyway, you are, as I've been saying, the performance analyst here at the club. And we've just been talking off mic for a second, and you've told me that there are actually three stages that are involved in your preparations for matches. What would you say they are?
So it's sort of, yeah, three stages. You said there's pre, so what we do before a game. Then you've got the live, so what we look at live during a game, and then you've got the post-match stuff, so what we look at after the game and what we have to deliver to the boys before our next game.
So talk us through what you do pre-match. So in the build-up to a match, might not be the same day as a match, it might be a couple of days before. What is that process? What happens?
So the pre-match is basically looking at, mate, we might watch, we'll sit down with the gaffer and the management, we'll look at one or two games, full games, to see what the opposition do in and out possession, and then the management might go away, re-watch the game, look at, then write down times of what they want to show to the boys. I'll then get all the set plays ready, put that all into maybe a 10 minute video. It's broken down into about six sections, so attacking style, defending style, attacking, defending, free kicks and corners, and then goals. And then we'll get player profiles, so information about our players, so height, weight, so we know when we look at corners who to mark who.
And it's really important, isn't it, what you do on a daily basis? And I know you get some good feedback from the players. The players actually really value this, don't they?
100%. It's now becoming vital in a football club. You're not just watching the opposition. You need to also look at your own performances. So if you're not looking at your own performances, you're taking a step backwards, really. But looking at us is what we do post-match stuff, really, so before the live stuff.
So before we get onto that, let's talk about what you do on a match day. And obviously you travel to the away games as well. It's important to get the home and away games in. So talk us through what you would do on a match day typically.
On a match day, I'll be next to the guy who films for BT. So I'll have a camera and I'll film wide angle to get all the shape and what players are doing on and off the ball, and then I'll have the camera feed going into my laptop in a software called Game Breaker, which will basically break down the game live. So we'll look at shape, corners, free kicks, goals, attempts, and then at half time we'll feed that back to the players and any management on if they, depending on what they want to look at.
So that's amazing, isn't it? If you can see the goal in the first half, the players don't have to wait until hours after the match. They can see it at half time and they can learn from it.
Oh, 100%, that's vital. So we can see at half time what we done wrong in the first half to then look back at it and then get it right for the second half, especially if we could see the goal. I then can radio down, so I've got communication down to the bench. If there's an offside, I can then radio down and just say, yep, the ref got it right, it was right, it was offside. But then we had instances in the FA Cup with Cheeky, and I radioed that down and said it was offside. But yeah,
or onside, you mean?
Onside, yeah, onside. Sorry, but yeah, the half-time feedback is vital as well.
I suppose it's important not to look at just what you're doing wrong, but what you've done well, what you're doing right.
100%, what we're looking right. Cause we're always looking to improve, and when we fix and when we get what we're looking to get right, it's the best feeling ever.
It's quite rewarding for you, I guess, as well. So the final stage of what we've been discussing is the post-match. So we all know that on a match day here at Bromley Football Club, it doesn't end at full time. We're all here long hours after the game, still working, cracking away. What does that involve for you? And is it just on the match day? Does it carry on for the rest of the weekend or days after that?
So after full time, I'll then obviously just edit the clip, send anything off to the gaff or the management, and it's basically Sunday where I'm then getting everything ready for the Monday. So I'll ask Neil what does he want to show to the players when they're next in. It might be just the attempts, and then we'll get the stats back, so how many attempts, corners, free kicks, throw-ins, penalty box entries, all that sort of stuff. And then the post-match stuff, we'll look back what we've done what wrong, what we've done right. And then whatever we show, we can then implement in training.
And that's shown in sort of a meetings style situation, isn't it, on the Monday, maybe after a Saturday game or the day after a Tuesday game?
Yeah, so we'll, if it's a Saturday, then we'll show it either the Monday or the Tuesday. If it's a Tuesday game, then we'll show it on a Thursday when the boys are back in. But yeah, it's all vital, and it's helping the team.
One thing I just wanted to ask you about as well before we finish is the implementation of some of the GPS data that you use and also the technology behind that. So we know that a lot of clubs at this level and above wear the so-called GPS vests. Can you explain what they are?
So the GPS vests is a small unit that you might see on the players during warm-ups, is the black vests. The play tech in the back of the vest sits like a unit. It's basically a satellite, so it's a GPS that tracks the player's distance, sprint distance, power plays, work ratio, distance a minute. So we look at kind of the important KPIs. So we've got Ben May, who's the S&C coach. He'll look at his specific KPIs, so distance covered, sprint distance, and maybe top speed. And then the gaffer and Alan Dunn might look at their own. But yeah, it shows who was running the most. So every week we have a player that's always hitting the same or above. But when you have a look at data, you can see who was performing.
And no player wants to be at the bottom of that, don't they? So presumably it adds to the competition element of it, and they all want to work as hard as they can, not only to win the game, but actually to show that they're doing their job properly.
100%. The boys come and see me to look at the data, and they're always competing against each other, and they all want to try and beat each other, especially the top speed and the sprint distance.
Well, Ronan, it's been really insightful having you on the podcast. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully you come back soon. Let's move on now and preview the visit of Barnet, which is taking place tomorrow as we record this podcast, obviously Saturday the 25th of January. Barnet, a side who currently sit 14th in the table, but make no mistake about it, they have played less games than every other team in the league. They've only played 28 in comparison to most teams who played 30 or 31, which includes ourselves. They've won 10 in the league so far this season, drawn 10 and lost 8, scored 41 goals and conceded 35 with a goal difference of 6, and they're currently on 40 points. Simon Akinola, the danger man for them, 12 goals, I believe, in all competitions this season, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on tomorrow. Their last match was the FA Trophy fixture away to Farsley Celtic on the 12th of January or 11th of January, which was a 1-1 draw. It got rescheduled, which was set to take place the Tuesday before this podcast was recorded, and that was called off in addition to Dagenham's Barnet's game against Dagenham, the previous Saturday, which was also called off. But anyway, enough of me talking. Who better to preview the match than someone actually from Barnet? Huge thank you to Adam Rowe, who sent us this.
Darren Curry's side head to South London in a decent run of form over Christmas and New Year. They've now gone 8 games unbeaten in all competitions between December and January. But since our last game against Farsley Celtic, which was a fortnight ago by the time we kick off tomorrow afternoon's fixture, the games have been postponed, and it seems to have sort of started that bit of form that we did have. So it'd be interesting to see whether rustiness does play a part in the opening 10-15 minutes when we kick off tomorrow. In October, November time, Barnet were struggling for form and they seemed to sort of lose their grip on the playoff picture, but they've fought themselves back into it with that run, and they've kept back-to-back clean sheets in their last two league fixtures on the road against Aldershot and Boreham Wood, which was a decent point against the Wood on New Year's Day. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out tomorrow. It was a tight encounter back in October at the Hive, so you guys ran out 2-1 winners, but Barnet were massively undone by set pieces that evening when they dominated possession and had the better of the chances, and ended up being frustrated by the fact they didn't take anything from that one, and it sort of kicked that poor run of form on. So they'll be looking to avenge that tomorrow afternoon. It'll be interesting to see how Barnet get on without Jack Taylor, who obviously left for Peterborough for a National League record fee, but we've brought in Xander McBurney seemingly to fill that hole, and it'll be interesting to see whether he makes his Barnet debut tomorrow afternoon. If Barnet do want to get back amongst that playoff picture, and they do have games in hand on that pack, they need to start turning draws into wins, and there'd be no better place to start than avenging that defeat at the Hive in October with 3 points tomorrow afternoon.
And just before we conclude this week's podcast, or I conclude it, I should say, as Cookie has still not returned, not sure what he's up to, but he's not here. Tickets are, of course, still available for that Barnet game up until 1 o'clock on the day of the game online, and obviously in the club office as well. At the discounted rates, you can view those over on our website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and purchase them as well. And you can, of course, get tickets on the turnstiles if you can't get them before 1 o'clock tomorrow. The prices do go up very slightly. Again, refer to our website for a guide on that. I'm going to thank Cookie, even though he's not here. Thank you very much, Cookie, for joining me for the first part of this podcast, which consisted of about 2 minutes. Big thank you to all of you who listen week in, week out. And once again, thank you to our fantastic sponsors, GPM Group, Specialist Fire Door Manufacturers. This has been episode 61 of Ravens Weekly. We'll see you again soon.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.